Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonhomme, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
And last week, I started a new series from the life of Noah called How to Build an Ark. Who was blessed by last Sunday's message? If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, you can go on our podcast, you can grab it. That message just had the touch of God on it, which was very, very cool. So I'm going to continue with that today. So if you have your Bibles, if you could turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 8, we're going to read from verse 6. If you don't have your Bibles, the verses are available for you on the screen. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. The Word of God says, "So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Sent out now, I want you to observe the two birds that were sent. It says, and he sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself. Verse 10, and he waited yet another 7 days. And again he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And no one knew that the waters had receded from the earth. Verse 12, so he waited yet another 7 days, and he sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. I'm going to read John chapter 3, verse 17 over you. It says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, I need to let you know this morning that we are going to be preaching a sermon on birds. Now, I am not a bird watcher. I've never read a bird book. I don't go onto birdwatcher.com.au if there's such a website. But we need to lean into this today to grab something. But I need to tell you about a war that I am currently having with a bird. There is a bird that has decided to reside, make its home near my house, and this bird believes that it is the king of my street. And for some strange reason, at early hours of the morning, this bird sits on the antenna of my house and makes a noise that goes like this. Woo-woop, woo-woop, woo-woop. And it goes on and on and on like Donkey Kong. And I'm telling you that when I'm one of these people that when you wake up, and I'm not talking like 5 a.m. when birds start to sing and make a noise. I'm talking, I looked at my alarm clock and it said 2:55 a.m. and I am hearing, whoop, whoop. So you know what I did? I got my BB gun. No, I didn't, that's a joke. I don't own a BB gun. And this bird is going ballistic. So, I'm trying to figure out how to get rid of this thing, because I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people that when you wake up in the middle of the night, I just find it so hard to go back to sleep. Some people go to the bathroom, jump back in the bed, 2 seconds later, they're asleep. This bird for the last 2 months keeps waking me up all the time, so please pray for me. Now, we read about two birds in the Word of God this morning. We read about a raven, and we've read about a dove. Now, we know that living in Australia, that Americans have a false understanding of Australia. They think that we are scared of sharks, we're scared of spiders, and we're scared of snakes. But you know, as a pure-blooded Australian, the thing that Aussies are most scared of are magpies. Magpies are terrifying. Magpies, they are not of God. I'm telling you right now. Who's ever been swooped or attacked by a magpie? Those things are heavy, man. And the magpie, we know, are from the same family as a raven and a crow. Now, I need to let you know, courtesy of my wife, and Mr. Google agreed to this as well, and that is you should never be an aggressive to a magpie. And the reason why is that magpies have an incredible memory to recognize faces for years. So if you have been aggressive to a magpie, it has remembered your face, and when it looks at your face, either good or bad, I just want to pray that you've not been bad to a magpie. It is territorial and they will eat almost anything. When you think of magpies, you don't go to a wedding. Jackson and Alyssa are getting married in about 6 weeks from now. At the end of the ceremony, you don't see this cage of magpies getting, oh, wow, look at the, oh, so what a great day. There's something wrong with magpies. So come on, we're gonna do Who Wants to Be a Millionaire just for a moment. I'm gonna be Eddie Maguire. Who can name a group of magpies? They are called a? No, close. So, oh, we're gonna have to reduce it to 500 grand now. You lost the money. It is called a parliament of magpies. Who can tell me what a group of crows are called? Murder. Now think about that. Who would ever call a group of birds a murder of crows? And the reason why is because they're evil. They don't look the part. They come after you, these things. But when we think of a dove is symbolic of purity. A dove is symbolic of peace. A dove is symbolic of innocence. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, that we are to be innocent as doves. So when we look at this passage this morning, we cannot overlook that although we are going to look at a raven and a dove, it's not just a historical account that took place in Noah's Ark. There are spiritual truths that speak to us today. There are things, there are principles. There is in the Word of God, or we could say that the Word of God is economical. There is nothing in the Word of God by chance or by accident. There is a volume of truth from what we've read today that the Spirit of God wants to imprint upon our hearts. And so this morning, I want to talk to you today about four activities. I want to talk to you today about four intervals, four time periods, four dispensations, if you will. We notice in the passage that we read this morning that the Word of God says, firstly, that Noah sent out a raven. I want you to observe that the raven went, the Bible says, back and forth, and watch this, stay with me now, it did not return to the ark. Noah then gets a dove, and the Bible says that he opens up the window of the ark. He sends out the dove. And the dove finds no resting place. And watch this, it returns to the ark. Again, he waits 7 days. Let him who has ears to hear, hear. He sent the dove out again. And the Bible says on this occasion that it came back with a freshly plucked olive leaf. And then he sends out the dove again. And the Bible says on this occasion that it was sent, but it did not return. We're going to have a look at these four intervals. We're going to have a look at these four dispensations, these four time periods, these four activities, and pick up the work of God on planet Earth. The Bible says, firstly, that Noah sent out the raven. The raven's activity is it went back and forth. It's circulated, so to speak, the waters. And the Word of God makes it clear that it did not return to the ark. Unlike the dove, the raven sits in where? The waters of judgment. The raven sits quite possibly or presumably eating the flesh of a dead animal, and it survived and thrived in the location of where? Death. It survived and thrived where the waters of judgment actually existed. It would be unbalanced of me as a Bible teacher this morning to give you two options of what this actually means. Some Bible commentators, few, say that the raven is actually a picture of Satan himself, feeding on death, sitting in the waters of judgment. But most Bible teachers, they actually refer to this or this dispensation, this time period, is in fact a picture of the law. And the law set a standard. The law set a requirement where everybody is condemned as sinners. In other words, the law condemned everyone by its conditions, producing death. Nobody on planet Earth, apart from Christ himself, has been able to fulfill the requirements of the law. I've been to Israel a few times. In Israel, you see the extremities of religion. One day when you come to Israel with me, you will get to see and observe the most beautiful relationship that people have with the Almighty God. But then at the same time, you get to see the extremities of religion, and you get to see how people try to be right with God based on a performance or an action or a religious activity. The touching of the rock that they believe to be something that Jesus's body was laid upon, and a whole bunch of actions, because they believe that if they do those things, they are fulfilling the righteous requirements of the law. We are not made righteous this morning because we're attached to a religious organization. We're not made righteous this morning because of the things that we do. And people strain and strain under the spirit of religion to outwork something that makes them right with God. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56, sin is what gives death its sting, and the law is the power behind sin. Ongoing failure. The law proves that we are incapable of living up to God's righteous standard. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with our God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What an incredible verse. An incredible, incredible download of heaven to our lives. The best way to understand what this verse actually means is to understand what the word justified means. You can break the word up, justified, into this: just asified. We have been just asified, never sinned. When God looks at you today, he sees someone justified, just asified, never sinned. And because of that, we have peace with our God through Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? The raven goes, and humanity sat under these requirements. And all the law does is it shows us how incapable humanity is of living up to the righteous standards of God. The dove is sent by Noah. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 8, verse 8, that the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. In verse 9, and she returned to him. The dove also, watch this, goes into a judged world. But the dove finds no satisfaction, and it finds no rest in a judged world. And the dove returns to the ark. Noah sends the dove again. And the word of God says, 7 days later, Seven, of course, in the Word of God is the number of completion, the number of perfection, a dispensation, a time period had finished. But on this occasion, when the dove was sent in Genesis chapter 8, verse 11, it says that a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. This olive tree was alive and growing, and it was a picture of the retiring of the waters of judgment, and mercy was actually being revealed. We see this dispensation when the Holy Spirit came upon people in the Old Testament for a purpose. We see it in judges, warriors, and on prophets. We see it in the life of Samson. And we see in Judges, chapter 15, verse 14, as he approached Lehi, the Philistines came toward him shouting, "The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands." In this interval, we see hope, we see mercy, we see the goodness of God being poured out upon a generation, but yet the dove could not stay in that location. It was there for a purpose. Noah waits another 7 days. And in Genesis chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "So he waited yet another 7 days, and he sent out the dove." Watch this, it says, "which did not return again to him anymore." The waters were abated. Yet in this era, grace and truth took possession of the world, a world cursed by sin, but now redeemed by grace. The dove would not sit in the waters of judgment, but on this occasion, the dove was sent and the dove did not return to the ark. We see this in the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus goes to be baptized by John the Baptist. The Bible says that as he gets baptized, the Bible says that the heavens open and the Spirit of God descends like a dove. And watch this, the dove now rests upon him. In this era, in this season that we're living in, the dove has been sent. It's not sitting in the waters of judgment. It's sitting in grace, sitting in mercy. You are here today feeling and sensing the presence of God, not because of the good things that we have done, but simply because the waters of judgment have been removed and we are living in a time of grace. And the Spirit of God has come and he rests upon you. Today, he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. This is not a 3-day experience or a 1-year experience. This is not in 52 weeks from now, I've had my turn and the Holy Spirit, the dove's gonna now move on to somebody else. The dove was sent and did not return to the ark. I love it because when the dove was sent and rested upon Jesus, the Bible tells us that there was a public announcement. I love that there was a public announcement because on this occasion, this wasn't a private thing. This wasn't something that was just for Jesus to hear. This was something so that everybody could hear. I was at the train station a couple of days ago. You know, they get on and they make their announcements and so on. The guy who was making the announcement, he didn't come to me personally to give me the information. It was an announcement that was made corporately. Watch this. It was an announcement that was made publicly. When the dove came and rested upon Jesus, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." A public announcement has been made over your life. And that public announcement today is that you are a son, you are a daughter of the King. And the dove has been sent and is resting upon you today. If you have an understanding that the dove is there to judge, that is incorrect. The raven sat in the waters of judgment. The dove was sent and rested. The waters of judgment have been removed. And a public announcement, this is the good news of the gospel. The word gospel simply means good news. The good news is that you have been made right with God. The good news is that God cares for you. He loves you. And the dove has been sent. I can sense his presence here today. And he's not sitting in the waters of judgment. He's sitting in an atmosphere of mercy and grace. The grace of God is upon your side today. You are not being judged by God today. The dove has been sent to draw you unto himself, to show you more of Jesus, to show you more of his kindness and his love for you and his mercy for you. This is not an era of judgment. This is an era of grace. The grace of God has been dispensed all throughout the earth. Jeremy, you can come. And the grace of God through the dove is reaching out to humanity, not in the waters of judgment, but in an atmosphere of grace. You've not come to church today to prove that you owe God something. You've not come to church today because that's how we're going to get right with God. We receive communion most weeks in our church. Most people, so many people have a misunderstanding of communion. Communion's not there to tell you how bad you are. Communion's there to tell you that you are right with God. Communion is there because there's a great exchange that takes place. My weakness for his strength. All the chains that are upon me, the things that bind me, that hold me, I take on his freedom. It's called the great exchange. You and I have experienced a great exchange. A great exchange. Because the dove was sent and returned to the ark no more. You can't run away from the dove. He loves you. He's pursuing you. He's calling you to himself because we're living in an era of grace and mercy and in the kindness of God. Some people say, you know, we should preach the real hard messages. That's how people are going to repent. That's how people are going to come back to God. But let me say this to you. You are called the bride of Christ. Amen? Come on, church. He is called our husband. Think of a husband who's really harsh with his wife. 1 hour later. 2 hours. Do you think that wife is going to be like, you're the best husband I've ever had. Can I get you your slippers? Harshness repels. Bible says it's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. The dove's been sent. It's not sitting in the waters of judgment. It's sitting in an atmosphere of grace and mercy. It's sitting in an atmosphere where we've been made right with Almighty God. The gospel's so amazing. Because this public announcement that was made over Jesus established his identity. When you experience the dove, you get to know your identity. I'm a child of the King. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of the Most High. Jesus never performed a miracle at that time. I've been to the Sea of Galilee where Jesus walked on water. I mean, you just cry and you go out on the boat. It's just like, you know, it's like, it's all happening. But Jesus hadn't performed a miracle at that time when he was baptized. He didn't heal blind Bartimaeus. He didn't get the 5 loaves, the 2 fishes, multiply, amazing miracles. And the father was like, you're worthy. This is my beloved son. In you I'm well pleased. Had nothing to do with his performance. The dove's been sent. And the doves in this atmosphere today declaring the blessing and the favor and the mercy of God over you. Security, acceptance, worth, relationship, and recognition. We say, scripture says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Often we equate that to prayer. Ultimately, what it's actually talking about is relationship. Our Father, who art in heaven. It's about a beautiful relationship, an amazing relationship that we've been given. The dove has been sent and did not return to the ark. Mercy was found. Grace was found. I think of the book of Acts chapter 2. And the Bible says when the day of Pentecost had fully come, it says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them divided tongues like as of fire. Watch this. That sat upon each of them. It's not just for a few. It's not just for the men. It's not just for the women. It's not just for the young people. It's not just for the elderly people. It sat upon each of them. There's grace for you. There's mercy for you. Because where the dove goes, grace and mercy is revealed. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, because as he is, so are we in this world. How beautiful is the good news of Jesus Christ? How amazing is his kindness? How amazing is his grace and his mercy? Have you ever wondered why he came as a rushing mighty wind? I mean, it could have just been like oil. Imagine that. But he came as a rushing mighty wind. He loves you so much, he's called your helper. And he rushes to help you today. He rushes to come alongside of you to let you know you're loved, you're cared for. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He rushes towards you today to let you know that you are a child of the King. He rushes to you today to let you know that the future is greater than the past. He rushes towards you today to remind you of your right standing with God. He rushes towards you today to let you know about the finished work of the cross. He rushes towards you today to let you know that by his stripes you were already healed. He rushes you towards you today to let you know that anxiety must bow its knee to the foot of the cross. He rushes towards you today to let you know that you are more than a conqueror in Christ. He's rushing towards you today in an atmosphere of grace and mercy. Who can sense his presence today? He's here today to bless you, to strengthen you, to encourage you, to fill you with hope. The dove was sent and did not return to the ark. Can we just worship Jesus just for a moment? Can we just turn our eyes upon him? Are we able to stand this morning and just surrender to the grace and the goodness and the kindness of our God today? Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, we honor you today. Oh, Jesus, come. Fill our lives with grace, mercy, compassion, kindness, and with the goodness of God, we declare it in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.